Isn't our God great? Yeah. Isn't he awesome? Yeah. Worship was so good. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So glad to see you all here this morning. So glad that seeing the house fill up with God's people this morning. So glad you could be here. My name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church, and I get the privilege to speak this morning. Welcome. Welcome if you're here in the house. Welcome if you're at home, if you're sitting here in pajamas, you're in the house too. We're so glad you are here with us. Are you ready? Are you ready, church? Listen. I don't mean to hype myself up here, but there are times when you like go and you write a sermon, and then there are times when like the sermon just like appears on the PowerPoint and you're like, how'd that happen? This is a message, church. So sit back, be prepared, let this sink in, because I believe this is what God needs us to hear this morning. We are talking about your kingdom come. Last week, Pastor Doug kicked off our sermon series. If you haven't listened or watched it, what are you doing with your life? Seriously, make that your goal. Go back, hear what Pastor Doug had to say. And this morning, we're talking about seek first the kingdom. That's the title of our message this morning. We're going to spend most of our time this morning following this man named Philip. Now, this is not Philip the Apostle. These two Philips get confused all the time. They must have a complex about it. So they call one Philip the Apostle. They call the guy we're following this morning Philip the Evangelist. Now, one thing I want to hit home, I want you to remember in everything I say this morning is that this, Philip the Evangelist, the guy we're talking about this morning, he did not see Jesus. He did not experience Jesus on earth. He wasn't with him through his ministry. He didn't get to stick his fingers into the wounds like Thomas did. He didn't get to see him ascend to heaven. Philip wasn't there for none of that. Philip appeared after. You might recall in Acts, there's this conflict that happens where there's Gentile and Jewish widows. And, you know, the Gentiles are complaining because their widows aren't getting as much as the other widows. And so the apostles come together and they appoint seven men to, you know, control this ministry, to take over because they've got other things to do. Philip was one of those seven men that comes and is put forward and prayed on by the apostles. And he starts taking over this ministry. Another one of the men was Stephen, who was murdered, who was killed, the first martyr for his faith. And after Stephen is killed, the church, it scatters, right? We remember this from Acts. And they go all over. Now, Philip goes to this land called Samaria, and he starts to preach there. He meets this guy named Simon. It's a magician. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 8. But our story starts this morning in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip is in Samaria. The Bible says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with each one of us in the house, at home, wherever we are, God, listening online later. I pray you would speak to us. You would help us to seek first your kingdom this morning, and we'd leave this place changed because of what you've done. In your name, Jesus, amen. So we're talking about seek first the kingdom this morning. This first passage we have is so critical. I love this. Let me read it again. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go. Rise and go. My first point this morning is this. Seeking is trust. Seeking is trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust God to rise and to go? When God puts a word on your heart, hey, maybe you got to go talk to someone. Maybe you're supposed to, you know, spread a word, talk to a coworker. Do you rise and you go, or do you sit and stay? What do we do? Church, I don't know about you, but so often in my life when God says, hey, you need to do this thing, I'm like, but God, listen, you know, like this is a really bad week for me. Have you checked my calendar? Like it's on my phone. Didn't you check, God? I got stuff going on. Can we push rising and going to like a week Friday? Come on. Seriously, right? Am I the only one? Rise and go, the angel of the Lord says to him. I mean, when he says this to Philip, what does Philip do? He gets up and he goes with no preparation, right? I mean, think about it. You know, like if I have to go to Costco, I'm like, okay, do I got my Costco membership? Do I got my money? Do I got my license? Do I have the children if I'm taking them? Do I have a cooler in case I get frozen stuff? Like, think about all the preparation we put into these easy things. Yet, Philip just rises up and goes. When was the last time we did that, church? Are we rising and going? It reminds me of what Jesus said to the 72 when he sent them out in Luke chapter 10. He said, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When was the last time you left the house without your cell phone? Really? Right? Come on, right, church? When was the last time you left the house without your purse? Come on. But Philip, with no preparation, he goes. And not only does he go, the Bible says he's going on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is an 80-mile journey. They do not have cars, they do not have planes, they do not have trains. I said that in the wrong order, but you know. Right? This is an 80-mile journey. This is a major walk. And this takes preparation for most people. This is a dangerous route. There are raiders and people that are enemies of the Romans on this route. This is not just, you know, like a Sunday walk. Rise and go from Jerusalem to Gaza. Not only that, but he tells them straight up, this is a desert place. Hey, the place you're going is a desert. You know, I would love it if God came to me and said, Cameron, rise and go to Disney World. Right? Come on, let's be honest. I'd be like, okay, I'll do it, God. Right? Rise and go where? To a desert place. Do we trust God like this? I look at Philip, and I just think about the trust he had. Do I trust God like this in my everyday life? Do we trust him? Psalm 37, verse 4 through 6 says, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Wow, trust in him. Do we trust him? Let's be honest. Because if I'm up here being honest, you know, I trust God like most of the time, but there's like little pieces and parts of my life. I'm like, you know, Jesus, you can have 90%. Like I'll reverse tithe to you. I'll give you 90. I'm just going to keep this. Keep my worry. Keep my fear. Keep my anxiety. Keep this. Keep that, right? We keep these little things and we hold on to them. Do we trust God? When he says rise and go to him, do we get up? Because I believe that God is looking for a kingdom full of servants who will rise and go. Is that us, church? Is that City Light Church ready to rise and go? Do we trust God? Absolutely we do. And we should, and we need to continue to trust in him. And because why? Because he created everything. He's got our back, right? We know that. We know the scriptures. And yet sometimes when that spirit moves in us, hey, go talk to that person. Hey, go share. We can cower away. Let's not be that, church. Let's trust in him. When the Spirit says jump, we should say how high. When he says go, we should say how far. Just like Philip did. Right, church? Yeah. Amen. So first, seeking is trust. We got to trust God that he's going to take care of us. That he's going to be with us every step of the way. So what does Philip do? It says in verse 27, and he rose and went. I love that. I mean, I hope when I die, that's what my, like, tombstone thingy says. You know what I'm talking about? And he rose and went. What more can you ask? God said go, and he rose and he went. Come on. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. This last sentence here, he had come to Jerusalem to worship, has been talked about in commentaries among scholars. It's been dissected many times. And what people ask is, what was he worshiping? Like, was he a Jew? Was he a Gentile? Did he know and love God? Was he just searching? And you know, this is just my two cents, so take it or leave it. But I believe that he was like those people. You know, when Paul spoke in Athens, I preached about it last time, Paul said to them, I perceive that you are religious. You're looking for something to worship. And I believe that's what this man was. He's gone to Jerusalem looking for something to worship. Just like all of us. Just like everyone we meet in our everyday lives, looking for something to worship. It continues in verse 28. It says, he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So first, an angel of the Lord says to Philip, rise and go. But now this time, it says, the Spirit said to Philip, that small, still voice, that inner voice we know God is speaking to us, that Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. My first point was seeking is trust. My second point was seeking is bravery. The Spirit said, go over and join this chariot. Now, let us remember, again, how I started. Philip was a man, just like me, up here with hopes and fears and dreams and flesh and all this stuff going on, right? He was not, you know, like some angel. He was just a man. Think about how scary this command from the Spirit is. Here's this dude, second in command of all Ethiopia, and he's bounding down the road. He's got a chariot, he's got stuff, he's got guards, he's got servants, he's probably got a whole entourage with him, like a celebrity, right? And the Spirit says to him, go and join this chariot. I'd like you to place yourself in your imagination on 3rd Avenue South, and there's a parade, and there's candy being thrown to children, and there's fire trucks and horses coming down. Of course, they poop on the road. Like, we know how that goes, right? We're at a parade. And all of a sudden, who comes bounding down in a carriage but the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge? They're coming along. They're coming down. They got their 3 kids. They got the new one with them, right? They're coming along. And the Spirit says to you, hey, go and join that carriage. Think of what would go through your mind, church, right? Think of the fear. Think of the anxiety. What would happen if the Spirit says, go, join that carriage? You're like, no, they're going to shoot me. They're going to stab me. They're going to arrest me. I'm going to be on, like, you know, like one of those shows where they're like, greatest fails ever. Look, this guy tried to join the carriage, right? Right, church? Imagine if the Spirit said, go, join that chariot. Would you? Would we? Are we brave enough to do what the Spirit says no matter the consequences? When I think of bravery in the Bible, I think of Joshua, right? What a tough job he had. He got to take on the mantle of Moses. And it says in the first chapter of Joshua, when, you know, Moses has died, and God is speaking to Joshua, and he says, hey, listen, you know Moses, that guy who I hung out with every day, and he met me at this tent, and we had this, like, really close, intimate relationship? Well, guess what? He's dead. Now you go do what he couldn't do. Talk about a calling, right? Talk about, imagine how fearful Joshua was, right? Trying to take up, do what Moses couldn't do. It says in verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, brave. For you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. In verse 7, God continues, he says, only be strong and what? Very courageous. Seeking takes bravery, church. We have to be brave. Are we brave? Are we brave as a church, or are we fearful when we spread this word, when we seek the kingdom? Are we willing to listen to the Spirit, to go, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of, to maybe look foolish, to maybe end up on like failarmy.com? You know, are we willing to do this? Or do we sit there in our comfort, in our own zone, you know, happy with what's going on, and just kind of, you know, let life pass us by? Are we seeking the kingdom? Seeking is bravery. Go over, join that chariot. Are we joining the chariots in people's lives as they come alongside us? Are we joining them? And we need to remember, I just want to hammer this home, because this is the point the Spirit just put so much on my heart, was that Jesus has ascended. Philip hasn't seen Jesus. He hasn't been hanging out with him. He's just like you and me, equipped with what? The Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is the same Spirit now, today, forever. Right, church? The same Spirit that lived in Philip is in us today. Where is our bravery, church? Come on, when we're out in the streets, when we're at Tim Hortons, when we're driving, when we're at work, when we're with our families, where is our bravery? God is looking for seekers who will trust Him and will be brave, be bold. Right? Just like Philip, let's join a chariot, church. Come on. Let's go talk to the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. So Philip goes. He runs up this chariot. In verse 30, it says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Talking about Jesus, what he did for us on that cross. The writer Isaiah, long before he came, knew what would happen to Jesus for us. It says in verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? I love this verse. I love this story. Can you tell? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. About Jesus. See, because here's what I believe, is that from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, every single scripture, every single story, every single word of the Bible is leading us where? To Jesus, to himself, his person, his sacrifice, right? Isn't life about Jesus? Come on, church. Isn't that what we're after, we're seeking after? We're Christians, Christ followers. He is our goal. See, seeking is trust. Seeking is bravery. My third point, seeking is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You are here for what purpose? Jesus's. That's why we're here, to make him greater, that we would be less and less, and he would be more and more. A seeker's focus must be Jesus. That's what it's about. Is your focus Jesus? This past week, was your focus Jesus, church? Are we focused on him in our work, in our life, in what we're doing, in our families? Is our focus Jesus? Because it should be. What he did and what he's leading us to, we gotta be focused on Jesus. Isn't it easy to lose focus? I don't know about you, but I find myself, I'm like, man, I'm gonna read like so much the Bible, that I'm gonna pray. Oh, look, there's a Dodgers game on. Yeah, you know, I'm just being honest, church. Right? We can find these distractions. If we're honest, sometimes the distractions don't even come. Like, we're like looking for a distraction. Like, we go on our phone, like, I'm definitely going to read my Bible today. Oh, look, you know, whatever app I'm on right now. Right? Isn't that the truth? We get distracted so easily. Hebrews 12, the writer says in verse 1 through 3, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Right? Right? What does the writer say? Let us throw off everything that hinders us. What hinders us? What hinders us? See, a seeker must be focused on Jesus, but a seeker cannot be weighed down by sin. And this is a truth we need to face. See, we're seekers. What brings us off the path, what turns our focus away, it's sin. Sin entangles and snares and traps and weighs us down. If you've been in the church any amount of time, you've probably seen someone come and accept Christ and be on fire, and they get involved in a ministry, they become, you know, involved, and then one day they're just gone, right? And then you're like, well, I don't even know where this person went, what happened? Right? We've seen it, let's be honest, church. What happens? Seekers get weighed down by sin, and they lose focus on Jesus, they start getting strayed to the left or the right, and they get sin take them down. I'm here to tell you today, church, I don't know what you came through these doors with. I don't know your life. I don't know your story. But if you came through these doors weighed down by sin, you don't have to take it out of here. You can leave it right here at this altar this morning. You do not need to leave with that sin. You can take it and lay it down at Jesus' feet. If you brought something in, I don't know what it is. I'm not here to judge you, but if you brought something in, don't take it out. Leave it here. Come up for prayer. If you don't want to talk about it, you can, you know, just say you need prayer. Come up for prayer. Leave your sin here and go out focused on Jesus. Because if sin is in our life, it invades and it grows. And we start to think it's just a little worry. It's just a little worry, right? It's okay to worry. I'm a mom. I have to worry, right? Come on now, right? And then it grows and it spreads. It's like a cancer that invades our soul and takes our focus off Jesus. You know, we can be like, oh, it's just a little lust. It's not really that big a deal, is it? And then it grows and it grows. And before we know it, it's invaded. Just a little anger, right? Just a little bit of road rage. And then what happens, right? Come on, church. Let's be honest. That little bit of sin, it takes us down, takes our focus off of him. And what in this life is worth not focusing on Jesus? Let's leave it here. Whatever you brought with you, you don't have to take it out. Leave it here this morning. Because Philip, he wasn't entangled by sin. Yes, he was a man. He was full of flaw, but that wasn't weighing him down. He was focused on Jesus. Come on, church. Seeking is trust. Seeking is bravery. And seeking is Jesus. It says in verse 36, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch, said, see here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Philip and this man, the second in charge of the kingdom of Ethiopia, they see this water. Philip, the eunuch's like, hey, can I get baptized? Philip's like, absolutely. He baptizes him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and boom! Philip's not even there anymore. And this man is left there. He comes out. He's rejoicing. He realizes he has been saved. My first point was seeking is trust. My second point, seeking is bravery. Third point, seeking is Jesus. My fourth and final point as we land the plane this morning is this. Seeking is destiny. Seeking is destiny. Now, I have to be honest, I don't like this word because it's got this like connotation to it, right? Like the stars, like your destiny is this like ethereal thing or something, right? But what does it truly mean? Your destiny, if you're here today and you're living and you're breathing, you walk through those doors breathing oxygen, hopefully you leave breathing oxygen, that'd be great. But if you came here today and you are still alive, you have a destiny, and that destiny is God's plan for you, right, church? You have a purpose and a plan. You are not here. You are not an accident. You are not here this morning by some chance. You are here because God brought you here. You are here for a reason, and you need to discover that reason. That's what destiny is. It's not about this thing we can't control. It's about this thing that is God's for us to discover, right? So what is your destiny? Why are you here? If you're seeking the kingdom, then your destiny has to be the kingdom. Whatever you have, whatever you brought through this morning, your talents, your hopes, your dreams, it's got to be about Jesus. We can't like be like, you know, I love God and he's my king. I'm going to follow him and I'm going to keep like this little part for myself. If you're here this morning, you're creative. That's awesome. You're an artist, you're a writer, you're whatever. Guess what? Jesus gave you that gift for a reason. Use it for his kingdom. If you came in and you're good with technology, you're great with it. You know, guess what? That's for a reason. Use it for God's kingdom. If you're great with money, you got a business, whatever you came in through, I'm here to tell you, you have that talent for Jesus. What are you using it for? And if you're not using it for his kingdom in some way, then you're not doing it right. Our destiny is Jesus. Our destiny is seeking the kingdom. Right, church? Philip ends up in this place called Azotus. And he's actually going to move on to Caesarea, where he's going to meet Paul later in Acts. I put a map in my PowerPoint. Hopefully you can see it. Yay, there it is. Okay, listen, let's follow Philip's journey just for a moment here. If you can see the red cross, he starts at point one in Jerusalem. Then he goes up into the Judean desert, point two. Then he goes up to the Jordan, point three. Then he goes to Samaria, point four. Then he goes on the road to Gaza, point five. Then he goes over to Azotus, six. And then up to Caesarea. God did not walk Philip down a straight line. Look at the up and the down and the zigzag. And that's the truth about God's plan for us, right? So often, God does not take us directly to his goal. We got these ups and these down and these winding roads, right? I wonder if Philip ever thought, like, man, am I, like, backtracking here? I'm going north, I'm going south, I'm going east. See, God brought Philip on this long journey to get him somewhere. And he's doing the same thing to us. I'm here to tell you, if your goal is seeking the kingdom, then you're on the right path. No matter if you're winding, you might feel like you're going backwards, you might feel like you're not gaining ground, but I'm here to tell you, if your goal is Jesus, you are gaining ground. Amen? If he's your goal and you're seeking him, you are on the right path. Keep going. Who knows where it might lead? Seeking is destiny. See, I'm in this stage of my own personal Bible reading where I'm like getting, you know, caught up in these little details in these stories. Because I believe that every single word in Scripture was breathed by God. And that means it's important. From like, you know, the so-and-so begot so-and-so in Numbers that can put anyone to sleep, let's be honest. To like these little details. And I guess get caught up in them. Like for instance, in this one, in our story today, it said six times the eunuch, right? Like that's a word, right? Like come on, right? I mean, you know, if anyone doesn't know what it is, I got a picture. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But we know, right? This man, this Ethiopian, he has no destiny. At that time, eunuchs served usually a female member of the royal family. And they lived and they died and no one remembered them. They didn't have kids. They didn't have grandchildren. They didn't have families. They had nothing. They had no destiny. They served and they died. And a few years later, no one remembered their name. As a matter of fact, this Ethiopian in the Bible, he doesn't even get a name. He's just the Ethiopian eunuch. Like, how would you like to be known like that? Come on, you go to heaven, you're like, hey, what's your name? He's like, I'm the eunuch. You know? Come on. But this Ethiopian, he receives his destiny. A man with no destiny receives his destiny. What does he do? This guy with no legacy, no future, no children, he goes and he starts the Ethiopian church. Right? You want to know some cool things about the Ethiopian church that I Googled? First thing, did you know Ethiopia was the first country ever to adopt Christianity? Why? Because of him. This man with no legacy, no destiny, he started a church that became the first country ever to adopt it officially. It still is today the largest Oriental Orthodox church in the world at 34 million people. And this last point is the coolest point. Did you know that the Ethiopian church is the Ethiopia is the only African region to remain Christian continually for 2,000 years. Through invasions and persecution and famine and colonialization and everything else that happened, they remain Christian. Why? Because this man with no destiny accepted Jesus. Isn't that incredible, church? 2,000 years. A church that's older than the Roman Catholic Church started from this guy. And guess what? Not only did he not get to see Jesus with his own eyes, he didn't even have an apostle or Philip there to guide him. Philip's gone. He disappeared. What did he have? The Spirit. The same Spirit in you and me this morning. What are we doing, church? Are we using this Spirit? Are we being brave? Are we being courageous? Are we trusting in it? Or are we just living our life like, okay, well, whatever. On to the next. Church, I believe God is calling each and every one of us to seek his kingdom first. Put it in its proper priority. To trust him. To be brave. Focus on Jesus. And remember, he is our destiny. Can we do that this morning, church? Are we willing to do that? We got to start remembering when we read these words, this gospel narrative, the stories of the Bible. These were just men and women like you and me. We have access to that Spirit. What are we going to do? Matthew 19, this famous verse. Jesus is talking to the disciples and it says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Right? Church, isn't that so true? So what are we going to do? We have access to God. We have access directly to the throne room through the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit in us. I feel like we're out of excuses. You know, I can't say I'm too busy. I can't say I'm not brave enough. I can't say I'm not focused enough. I've got to be out of excuses and start just do it. Wow, that'll make a great slogan. Right? Come on, church. Oh, man. Let's go forward. Let's do it. We have him in our corner. What can't we do? Let's listen. Let's tune our ear to hear that Spirit inside us say, "Hey, go join that chariot. Hey, go join that coffee. Hey, go join that table. Go sit at a different lunch table at work. Go make a new connection and spread this word. Seek first the kingdom, church." Can we do that? If we do that as a church, oh boy. Lethbridge won't know what hit it if we start doing this, church. So you agree with me this morning? Yeah. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much that we have you. Thank you for being with us, for walking down us through every road and through every journey. I thank you that you have been with us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're the same today, yesterday, forever, and that you are inside us. You dwell in us. Holy Spirit, stir up in us. Stir up in us trust and courage and focusing on Jesus and focusing on our destiny in you. Just stir that up in us. I pray that each one of us would leave different because you have so much to do with us. We're your hands and your feet. God, stir us up. You've equipped us already with your Spirit. We don't need anything more. You're not searching for people with PhDs. You're searching for people that will rise and go. Would that be us this morning, church? Pray for each member of our church, family. Holy Spirit, stir up with them encourage them, exhort them, give them words of wisdom. Spirit, tune our ear to hear what you have for us this morning. Will we listen for you? Help us train to listen for you, Jesus, your word. That we rise and go and be people so courageous. Will we cross the rivers of our lives into people's worlds? Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, it's time. It's time. It's going to be the greatest decision you ever made. It will not be all rainbows and butterflies, but it will change your world forever. It's time to know him. He wants to know you. He died for your sins. You don't have to get yourself figured out and sorted out. You can just come to him. Come right now. I'm going to ask you to say a prayer after me. It's a very simple prayer. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as a sign of an outward change. Every head will be bowed, every eye will be closed. It's just your time with God. If you want to say this prayer, it will be the greatest decision you ever made. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I accept you into my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Take me. Take my destiny. Help me to seek after you. Thank you for your death on the cross and your forgiveness of my sins. I choose you. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time with every head bowed, eye closed, I just ask you to raise your hand. If you're online, click the hand. Raise your hand now. Click that hand right now. It'll be the greatest decision you ever made. 1, 2, 3. Raise that hand. Click that link. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I ask you just to continue to bless City Light Church. We are so blessed by you, and we're so grateful. Thank you for stirring us up. I pray that we leave this day, we leave these doors ready to seek you and your kingdom with the fullness of our hearts. Put a name on our hearts right now. Put a situation in our hearts right now where we can spread your word, seek your kingdom. Give us trust, make us brave, make us focused, and make us turn our ear towards you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. We're all